بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, dear visitors, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. On some level we are all afraid of something or someone. Sometimes it's another person, sometimes it's some form of authority. So if you're writing a test, writing an exam, as many of our students have done so in the past little while, if a teacher or the supervisor or the invigilator passes by or comes around, you become a little extra cautious. We don't want a zero. We don't want to lose marks on our exam. If you're driving and we're speeding, right? Is there anyone here who doesn't speed? Right? So you're speeding on the highway and you see that there is a police officer parked right on the side of the road with his radar gun out. I actually saw one here parked in our driveway last Saturday morning. Checking for speeding. So when we come across that, what do? We slow down. We don't want a ticket. If you're at a red light in the middle of the night and there's no one around, there's no red light camera, most chances are you're not going to run that red light because you're afraid. You don't know, a police officer might pop out of nowhere, out of the bushes, as they say, and give you a ticket. So you're going to be careful about that. At work, if you're at your cubicle and your boss comes around, all of a sudden you become a little more careful. Sit upright, make sure you got the right windows open on your computer. Some websites, I remember some years ago, Workopolis, the works job site, they used to have a boss panic button. I didn't find it this time. But they used to have a boss panic button. So if you're looking for a job at work, meaning looking for another job at work, and the boss comes around, you hit the boss panic button, and this image pops up, makes it look like you're working on a spreadsheet, right, when you really weren't. Now some web browsers like Google Chrome and Firefox have add-ons. Right, then you can download and install that has a boss panic button. So you click on it, it makes it look like you're doing your work when really you aren't. For our children, for our young ones, right? Parents come in doing something on the computer, all of a sudden start minimizing windows, changing things around, right? You're doing something on your iPhone, on your iPod, and your mom or dad walks into the room, all of a sudden you put it away, do something with it. Right? We've actually become so used to being policed that many people, shockingly and unfortunately, would actually commit crimes if they knew that there were no consequences or that they would be able to get away with it. This is a fact. That many people would actually commit crimes and do things which are illegal if they knew for sure that there were no consequences or they knew that they would be able to get away with it. So the question is, what would you do if you thought that there were going to be no consequences and repercussions? How far would you go? We see looting during riots, right? So the Stanley Cup riots in Vancouver, right? And what did we see? Normal people, right? Normal teenagers, normal kids, who you see at work, at school, right? Taking part in really, silly, immature acts, incorrect, illegal acts. Looting, right? Happens in riots all the time. Why? Because people think that there are going to be no consequences. They'll get away with it. Right? Everyone's doing it, so we can do it as well. There was actually a study that found that 60% of Canadian college-aged males said they would commit an assault of the intimate kind if they were certain that they would not get caught. 60% of college-aged, university-aged males said that they would commit an assault if they were certain that they would not be caught. Right? So what does that tell us? That it's the fear of being caught, the fear of being embarrassed, the fear of having to pay in some way, which acts as a deterrent, which deters us and forces us to stop. When that fear is no longer there, then things can go out of control. Right? So we see a lawlessness in countries, situations where authorities have lost control, in some Muslim countries sometimes, unfortunately, or the police and the authorities have withdrawn and people are left to fend for themselves to protect their property and their families. Children know, right? A lot of times, though it's not right, but what's the attitude? That parents are gone now, parents are not home anymore, they're gone on a trip, they're out for a few hours, it's time to party, right? That's how a lot of children look at things. When the boss goes away, When the boss goes away, what happens? Productivity plummets, right? So the boss has gone on a business trip, on a vacation, productivity goes down. The imam has left the wedding after the nikah, right? What happens then? It's time to blast the music and start the dancing, right? Or you're logged into your, you know, you log into your secret Facebook account where you make sure that none of your family members are on there, right? None of the people from the masjid are on there. It's a secret account. Because in this account, then you can go ahead and you can post pictures that everyone else would be shocked at. Or you could make comments that you wouldn't want others to know that you actually made, right? Or the spouse goes away. The spouse goes to sleep, right? It's time to go on the computer and start looking at material which is inappropriate on the internet, right? So this is what happens when that fear, that deterrent goes away. But for the believer, the situation should be a little different. In fact, it should be very different. Because the believer should know that he or she is never alone. The believer should know that he or she, and all human beings for that matter, are never alone. You are never alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ. While appointed over you, there are watchers. كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفَعْلُونَ. Who are noble writers. Writers of what? They're not sitting there writing articles, right, or notes. They're writing your deeds down. يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفَعْلُونَ. Who know whatever you do. So you're never alone. Never deceive yourself and think that, oh, no one's watching me. I'm alone. No one's going to know what I'm up to. No, these two angels are always with you. They're always recording. It doesn't matter whether your act, the act you are committing, is in secret or in public. Whether it's in bright daylight or hidden under the cover of darkness. No matter how good, no matter how evil, no matter how big, no matter how small, there are always recording what you do. Doesn't matter who's watching and who isn't watching. These two angels are always there recording a report, compiling a report. So what is your report card going to look like? Right, so a lot of kids probably got the report cards recently, right? Some got happy, some are disappointed. What is your final report card going to look like? Once this life is over, this term is over, right? This life is like one term, right? This term is over, then you get a report card. What is your report card going to look like? There's nothing too big, nothing too small to be written in this report. And that final report will be presented. Right, you know how you get a report card, you have to take it home, get it signed, bring it back, right? That's what usually happens. This report card will be presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This report card will be brought to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you are in front of Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. So whoever does any good act, any good, even if it's to the weight of a particle, no matter how small it is, the person will see it. And whoever does evil, even to the weight of a particle, even if it's so small, the person will see it. You will see it in that report card, right? So you do a simple little act of charity. You give a few cents. You give a dollar, right? You spend a few minutes helping someone out. You hold the door open for an elder. You move a pebble or a rock out of the way so that nobody gets hurt and trips over it. All of these things are recorded. They will be in your report card, inshallah. And you will be rewarded for them, inshallah. But every single little evil, every single little misdeed, that will also be in there. Every single little lie here and there. You know, you'll twist the truth a little bit, right? Every single little peek, every single touch, which is incorrect and impermissible, right? Every single second of impermissible pleasure, whatever it is, everything's going to be in that report card. It's not going to be lacking in any way. The people who are righteous, right, who weren't involved in any hanky-panky or anything shady, right, who weren't doing anything wrong, or even if they did, they sought repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said sorry to Allah. They tried their best not to do it again, and they kept doing that. Inshallah, they're not going to have anything to fear on that day. They know that their record is clean. Right? For example, if you've maintained your car, right? If you've maintained your car, you've done all the scheduled maintenance. So when your time comes, if your car is getting old and it has to go in for inspection every few years, you know you have nothing to worry about because you were maintaining it. You know, you did all the maintenance that was required. You don't have anything to worry about. You know it's going to pass. But if you aren't taking care of it, you're going to be worried. You might get a fail. You might have to go in for a $500 job. Right? It's going to cost some money. Or, you know, if you know you've never dealt in drugs, right? You've never taken drugs, you're never smuggling drugs, you're never putting drugs in your car, when you cross the border, you're not afraid of those drug-sniffing dogs. Right? You know that if they come and sniff your car up, nothing's going to come up because you never put any drugs in there. Right? But if you were involved in some sort of, you know, illicit activity, either taking drugs, transporting drugs, smuggling drugs, dealing drugs, then you're going to be afraid. Because you don't know when those dogs are going to show up and just start barking, especially if you're going to the U.S., good luck, right? So you're going to be in for a ride. So you're going to be worried about that, right? So similarly will be the state of the guilty on the Day of Judgment. The people who are guilty, who know that, you know, they didn't really live up to what they were supposed to be doing, that's going to be their state on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَضِعَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ. And the book of deeds will be placed before them. Here you go, here's your report card. Allah says, then you will see the guilty people scared. At that point, they're going to be scared. Scared of what? Scared of its contents. Scared of what it contains. And they're going to say, وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. Woe to us, what a book is this? What kind of book is this? لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. It has missed nothing. It has missed nothing. What kind of report card is this that has been given now on the Day of Judgment? It has missed nothing, minor or major, but it has taken it into account. Every single thing is in here. Right? I thought I could get away with things when nobody was watching. I thought I could get away with things when the Imam wasn't around. Right? Or my parents weren't around. Or my spouse wasn't around. Or my boss wasn't around. No, everything is detailed inside this book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Thus they will find whatever they did present before them, and your Lord will not wrong anyone. Okay? So there's not going to be anything that's going to be made up in this book that you didn't do. Right? There won't be any false accusations against you in this book. This book is going to detail, this report card is going to detail exactly every single little thing you did. No matter how small and no matter how big. So dear brothers and sisters, if you're thinking back in regret right now, right, thinking about that book and what it's going to contain, and we should all think about that, then we still have time to wipe it clean. We still have time to correct our course. We still have time to make sure that that report card is a positive one at the end. But if you end up on that day, when that report card is presented to you, and then you look back and regret, then I'm sorry, but it's just going to be too late. So before we get to that point, we need to activate a mechanism. We need to activate a mechanism inside us, within ourselves. And this mechanism is called taqwa. Right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeatedly told us to have taqwa. Have taqwa. You know, be those who have taqwa. Be afraid and be, you know, conscious of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, right, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ, and so on and so forth. Even for a journey as sacred and as important as the Hajj, is there any journey which is more important or more sacred for a Muslim than the Hajj? No. It's the most sacred, most important journey. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advise? He says, pack up your belongings, and the best thing to pack, to take with you when you go for Hajj, is taqwa. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. So the best thing to take along with you, even for Hajj, for a journey as important as sacred as Hajj, is taqwa. So what is taqwa? Right? What is taqwa? And we find a hadith as well also. The Prophet ﷺ said, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتُ. Fear Allah wherever you are. Right? Have taqwa wherever you are. So what exactly is taqwa? Right? There's various descriptions, various translations and so on. God consciousness. To be aware of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be God-fearing, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have the reverent fear of Allah that stops the person from doing any action that would displease him. Right? That consciousness that tells you that, okay, I'm not supposed to be doing this right now. You really want to do something. Right? The temptation is there. Your friends are calling you to do it. Right? Your co-workers are calling you to do it. But still you resist. Or your nafs, right? Your inner self is telling you to do it, but you resist the temptation Out of what? Out of fear and consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My Allah, my Lord is going to be displeased if I do this. My Lord is going to be upset if I do this. Therefore, I'm not going to do it. That is istighfar. Umar radiallahu anhu asked one of the companions, Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, the meaning of taqwa, because he was very known, he was renowned for his deep understanding of the Quran. So he asked Umar radiallahu anhu whether he had walked through a thorny bush path with his cloak on. Right? So imagine you're walking through some sort of path, and there's thorny bushes, maybe rose bushes or other bushes, other branches that have thorns in them. Right? And you're trying to walk through that with a cloak on. So Umar radiallahu anhu replied, he said that he had done so on numerous occasions. So Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he asked Umar, he said, describe the movements through this thorny path. How did you move through this path with that cloak on when you knew that there was all those bushes and branches with thorns on them? So Umar radiallahu anhu replied that he moved very cautiously so as not to tear his clothing. Right? You're trying to be careful. Right? You don't want to get your clothing to be torn. So you're trying to, hold on here, hold on there, and trying to navigate your way through very carefully. So Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he said that was the description and the meaning of taqwa. That was the description and the meaning of taqwa, that we be cautious around the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that we are careful, that we don't transgress, we don't cross those boundaries. Now there's numerous benefits for the person who practices taqwa. There are numerous benefits. I'm just going to go through some of them. First of all, this is the source, the person who has taqwa, right? The person who has taqwa, that person is going to be successful. That's the key to prosperity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And fear Allah, that you may be successful. In the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, right? In the beginning of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala details, right? The various qualities of those who have taqwa, right? Those who believe in the unseen, and they establish prayer, and they give in charity out of that which Allah has given them, and they believe in what the Prophet ﷺ has brought, what has been revealed on him, what was revealed on those before him, and they're sure about the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. They, meaning these people who have taqwa, are on the true guidance from their Lord, and they are the ones who are successful. Those who have taqwa have the special companionship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Fear Allah and be sure that Allah is with the God-fearing. Right? If you're conscious about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, right? If you're afraid, you have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart, Allah is with you. Who is the person who's the most honored? Depending on your circle, it could vary. Right? So the person who's the most rich perhaps, or the person who's the most pretty or the most handsome, right? Or the person who's the most educated, or the person who's the most, the best in whatever sport or whatever it is, right? So everyone in their own circles has their own, benchmarks and their standards and that they look up to, and upon that they decide, okay, this is the person that's the best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's standard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's benchmark is what? Which person is the best? إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Verily, the most honorable of you in the sight of Allah is that person, the believer, who has taqwa. Right? So taqwa is the gold standard upon which, how good a person is based upon, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a way out of problems. Taqwa gives you a way out of problems and is a source of sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. That whoever fears Allah, whoever has taqwa, Allah brings forth a way out for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes ways out for him out of problems and circumstances and difficult situations. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And that's not all. On top of that, and he provides, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides him with what he needs from places where he does not even imagine. Think about that. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah provides that person who has taqwa with the things that he needs, sustenance and so on, from places where he does not even imagine. Right? And you try to act upon that. And after that, Allah says, وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever places his trust, the person who places his or her trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is enough for them. Right? And you try that. Right? And you try that, especially if you're having difficulty with work and and you know, jobs and business and so on, place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, try to practice taqwa, and I guarantee you'll watch, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never lies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises are always true. Inna wa'adallahi haq. Right? So you try that out and you see, inshallah, you'll see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes through. Taqwa is like a muscle. Taqwa is like a muscle. You need to build it, you need to exercise it. You need to do something to build that consciousness. It's not just gonna sit around and come out of nowhere. Okay? It's not like those fake muscles that just take steroids and will just come. No. Okay? You need to actually work for it. You need to do something to exercise it, to build it up. Right? So the first thing that we can do is make a sincere intention to improve our taqwa. Right? Because if you don't have the will, then it's going to be very difficult. So we have to understand and recognize that this is something that we want. This is something that we desire. This is something that we can improve on. So make a sincere intention that, okay, I want to improve my taqwa. Secondly, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase taqwa. Right? Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? The most honorable of people, the one with the most taqwa, right? Would make this dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa tuqa wa al-afafa wa al-ghina. Right? That, oh Allah, I ask you for guidance and for taqwa, for piety, for God consciousness, virtue and sufficiency. So even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua for taqwa. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, increase your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Increase your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will fuel your muscles, your taqwa muscles. Okay, the more you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you remember Allah, the stronger your taqwa is going to get. Right? Because in the qualities of those who have taqwa, which I described earlier for Surah Al-Baqarah, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that. Right? About the people who establish prayer. Right, who give charity out of what Allah has given them, right? And they're strong in their belief, right? So these are the things which will allow your taqwa to improve, which will give it the fuel to continue growing. And finally, try to observe the sunnah, the traditions, the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever possible. But the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam said that I am the most God-fearing person, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at the top when it came to taqwa. So if you follow the same path as the Prophet ﷺ, if you follow the same teachings, same instructions, and if your intention is right, then that is the path that will lead to taqwa, inshaAllah. Imam Malik rahimahullah, he said, the sunnah, right, of the Prophet ﷺ, the traditions and the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, he said it's like the ark of Nuh alayhi salam. The sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is like the ark of Nuh alayhi salam. Whoever got on board was safe, who didn't, drowned. Okay? This is how Imam Malik rahimahullah put it. So the next time you're about to do something, or you're not about to do something, right? Do it for the right reasons. Do it for the right reasons. Right? So if you're not going to blast the music and dance at the wedding because the imam is there, right? Don't do it because the imam is there. Okay? I'm not saying to go ahead and do it. No. Okay? Don't do it. But stay away from it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, and it is something you'll have to answer for. Right? Every single action is going to be in there. Right? For some reason, I don't know why we think that, okay, when it comes to weddings, right? It's like, I get a free pass, right, from everything that's halal and haram. Right, you get a free pass. It's like a day off, right? Like the one day where halal and haram rules, laws, everything are suspended, right? You know, in New York City, you get, you know, if snowstorm, something happens, the alternate side parking suspended. You know, they have this parking rules. Okay, so those are suspended, right? So for some reason, we believe that when it's a time of happiness, it's a time of joy, that all of a sudden, you know, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, doesn't want us to do, to stay away from all those guidance, everything we know, it just goes out the window, right? It doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter anymore. It's like, oh, it's just one day. But that one day is going to be in your book too. It's going to be in that report card. Right? So how could we just think it's just one day? What if that's our last day on earth? Right? What if we die that night? Right? Is that what we want to leave behind? Is that how we want to, you know, come towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, if you're not cheating on a test, don't do so because you'll get a zero if you get caught. Don't be afraid of the zero. Be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Don't be afraid of the zero. Zero is a zero. What is it going to do to you? Right? Well, it could do a lot, right? If your expectations are really high. But don't be afraid of the zero. Be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? If you're cheating, if you're committing fraud, if you're defrauding your business partner, you're defrauding the government, you're lying, you're breaking laws, right? You're doing things which are illegal, right? Don't be afraid of the government. Don't be afraid of the police. Be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll be asked about these things, right? What do you think? Just because it's the government, or it's just the government, oh, they're not Muslims anyway. Okay, no, no, that's not how a believer thinks. That's not the attitude of a believer. Right? A believer sticks to his duties. A believer sticks to his or her responsibilities and oaths and agreements and everything else as much as possible. Right? We can't have a laissez-faire attitude about these things. Right? So, whether, you know, no matter what type of sin you're committing, whether you're committing zina, or you're watching things which are inappropriate, or you're drinking, or you're stealing, or lying, cheating, all of those things, stop these things. Not because you may be embarrassed if you get caught and your picture comes in the newspaper, right? But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Right? Be afraid. Be conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me, and you will be held accountable for everything. Right? There's nothing that can just be swept under the rug and be hidden. Right? It's not like a web browser where you can just go in and delete the history and the cookies and everything else, right? And that's it. Think that you're clean, right? It doesn't work like that. Everything is recorded. Everything is recorded. You're not going to get away from that. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sami'un Basir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears and sees all things. He sees and hears everything. No matter how small, no matter how, you know, how much of a whisper, no matter how secret the text message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing. He's looking at all of that. He's looking at all of that. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he explained what it means to fear Allah as He ought to be feared. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِي. Right? Be conscious of Allah, fear Allah as He ought to be feared. Right? So he explains that, he says, it means that Allah is to be obeyed, not disobeyed. Allah is to be remembered, not forgotten. Allah is to be shown gratitude, not ingratitude. Right? So if we develop this muscle inside us, especially for my young friends, right? Because you're at a very important part of your life. A very important part of your life, a very crucial part of your life, where there's a lot going on in your lives. There's a lot to see, there's a lot to explore, there's a lot of questions, there's just a lot going on. Right? But remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching you, these angels are always with you. Right? So you can't get away from anyone. You could get away from me, right, by not coming to the masjid. You could get away from your parents by running away from home. Right? You could get away from your teachers by not going to school. Right? You could hide from the police, but you can't hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot hide from Allah. And you can't get rid of those angels that are taking down all the notes for your report card. You just can't. Okay, so before, and this goes for all of us, myself included, before we take a next step, before we do anything, let's try to think that, okay, is this something that I can defend in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Think about it. Every single act that we do is going to be in that book. How am I going to stand in front of Allah and answer for that? What excuse am I going to give Allah? Am I going to say, yeah, it was one day of happiness, so I said, you know, your rules didn't really matter, it's okay? You have the guts to say that in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I don't think so. Alright, so let's keep that in mind. Let's keep that in mind and develop that mechanism inside us that can help us and guide us through all those times so that we become self-policed. We don't need police, we don't need authorities, we don't need people over us, watching over us and telling us what to do and not to do. Right? We know that Allah is watching us, and that's enough for us. And we can stay clean and we can stay strong by ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help me in developing taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help and guide all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our youth, our children, our adults, our seniors, everyone in our communities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among the best of the best. Ameen wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.